CliffCentral.com.
And I'll write your name.
Yes. Taylor Swift, everybody, with Blank Space. All right. It is Monday morning. What's the date today?
The 16th.
Oh, that's right. The 16th. Monday, the 16th of January. The year is off to a good start. Let's make it even better for you. What can we talk about today that people need to know about? I've got a whole list of things, but none of it's got to do with any news. You know me. Don't pay attention to much news anymore because it's mostly fake news.
Yes, we have a very big problem with fake news, not just globally, but, you know, in this country as well.
Yeah. So I'm always, whenever I hear a story, I go, well, who told you that story? And then depending on how credible that source is, I decide whether or not I believe the story.
Yeah, when you say, oh, just the site and the internet,
mm-mm,
it doesn't quite work.
No. BuzzFeed, you're like, oh, come on. Although I did find one thing the other day that was quite funny on BuzzFeed. I mean, I like their funny stuff. That's where they come in handy to me. So I posted it on my Facebook. Let me just see where it is. And by the way, do you like these memories on Facebook? You know where they remind you of stuff that happened 4 years ago or whatever?
Well, basically they took a really great app called Time Hop and just copied what they were doing.
Right.
That's what Facebook does. It just eats everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Well, it does. Yeah, Ben's right.
It's got tentacles all over us. Yeah, you've not seen that movie.
Do you know what it was? It was a little animated picture of a quick brown fox that jumped over a lazy dog.
The A to.
I don't think I remember that.
All right. When you are testing how someone writes, you make them write down the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog because it contains every letter in the alphabet.
Yes.
It's like one of the shortest sentences you can make using every letter in the alphabet. So if you're testing someone's handwriting, you make them do that, you can see every letter in the alphabet the way they write it. Mm. But there's an actual GIF of it's a GIF, right?
Mm-hmm. GIF.
GIF. Of a quick brown fox that jumps over a lazy dog.
Okay.
And it came from BuzzFeed. It's just about the only time it's ever been useful to me. But yeah, I do like these memories things. It kind of reminds you of what you were doing a couple of years ago. And hopefully you're happier where you are now than where you were then.
Oh.
At least in terms of your personal development and the people you were hanging around with, right?
Well, you know that, as it turns out, Donald Trump has indirectly helped BuzzFeed.
Oh, yeah?
Because what they went and did is they've started selling merchandise of T-shirts which reads "failing pile of garbage." So they're busy selling this through their website, and apparently they're making a killing because, like, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, I suppose.
Good for them.
Yeah, like, what else are you going to do?
All right, failing pile of garbage.
Yeah. So now you can buy a failing pile of garbage T-shirt from BuzzFeed if you want to.
All right, I'm going to go on there right now. Okay, let's get stuck into some news.
Okay, so let's begin with a little-known Sunday Times headline yesterday about how Claudio Motsoeneng and the sports minister's wife are being sued in a billion-rand housing fraud spree. Oof. Oh, dear. So SABC strongman Claudio Motsoeneng and the sports minister's wife Nozuko Mbalula are being sued as trustees, allegedly receiving millions from a fraudulent 1 billion rand spending spree by the Free State government, which was meant to build houses for the poor.
Oh my God.
RDP houses, right?
Is there anything more disgusting than stealing from poor people? Like, if you steal from rich people, stealing is stealing.
Mm.
But if you steal from rich people, they probably insured.
They'll bounce back.
Yeah, they might. But if you steal from a poor person, how do you sleep at night? This is what makes me sick. This is Claudio Motsoeneng, who's shown himself to be completely incapable of any tough job or any job, full stop. He's completely mentally retarded. He's a very, very he's an unsavory character. And then Fikile Mbalula's wife, who always thought her worst decision was marrying him. Turns out her worst decision was much, much worse. It was stealing from the poor.
What does she do?
Nothing. She steals from the poor. Okay. Yeah.
That's her. Yeah.
I mean, what a job.
That's a LinkedIn line right there.
What do you do for your... Hello, Mrs. Mbalula. How's your husband? Oh, let's not talk about him. All right, let's talk about you. No, let's not do that either. What a disgrace.
So at the center of it all, it was Mineral Resources Minister Msebenzi Zwane. Now, at the time, he was MEC for Human Settlements, right? He sanctioned the payments of hundreds of millions of rands to companies that had not done any work for the government. And now the new MEC, Sisi Ntombela, her department is the one that is suing the 106 contractors, including Claudia Motsoeneng and Nozuko Mbalula, in their capacities as trustees.
I don't understand how this happens. You know, if you do business with government, you have to fill in so much paperwork. They want copies of your ID. They want copies of this. They want copies of that. There's a huge amount of administration that goes into doing business with government. So how could this happen? How does it even get to this stage? Surely somewhere along the way, someone's going, well, we're paying a billion rand. What have we got to show for it?
Well, suppliers received upfront payments to build more than 14,000 RDP houses, and many
14,000 houses.
Many of them were actually never delivered, and so the department now wants to recover more than 600 million rand.
Good. Send people to jail. That's how you get the money. Send them to jail and take whatever they've got. Right now. Wow. Go into their houses and just take stuff. Take the house. Take the house, take the car, take the fridge, take the TVs. Take whatever you can get. Reduce these criminals back to being the poor, sad, low lives that they were before they had things. That's what you need to do. It's insanity. Wouldn't it be a disgrace? I mean, it already is, but wouldn't it be even more disgraceful if a minister had a wife who was in jail? I mean, it wouldn't be new, because that's happened before. Siyabonga Qwele's wife was in jail for being a drug mule. Or, sorry, no, she wasn't a drug mule. She ran the drug mule cartel. And he had no idea, and he was the Minister of Intelligence.
The irony.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can believe it. You know, some spouses are extra good at hiding things from their partners. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
It's just the way that works. Like, yeah. All right. You get spouses who get caught, and then you get spouses who just get away with all sorts of things because they are that good.
And some people are just content with that ignorance, though.
Yeah.
You know what? As long as you buy me a bag, as long as I can still go lunching with my friends, and then I can have my little annual holiday as well, then I'm not going to ask any questions.
Let me tell you what. Going to sleep at night knowing that you haven't robbed poor people, going to sleep at night knowing that you haven't ripped anyone off, that sleep is better than any amount of money in the bank. Because there's no amount of money in the bank that'll let you sleep properly if you've been a shit your whole life.
I don't know, eh?
I promise you.
I mean,
what do you mean, mother?
No, I reckon...
If you can't sleep because you feel
so... I reckon psychopaths sleep just fine. That is...
Oh, yes.
I reckon these people have no qualms about the things that they've done.
To them, it's justified somehow. It makes sense to them somehow. They're fine.
You're right. I'm thinking about like nice people like us.
Mm-mm.
And I don't... please, believe me, I don't think we're special. But I think we don't go around ripping off poor people and stealing from anybody. I wouldn't be able to live with myself. I would rather be poor than have that guilt on my conscience. Can you imagine how terrible you feel?
And guys, it's like 14,000 houses that weren't delivered.
That's it.
Those are 14,000 families.
Right.
That's a struggling mother with three kids.
Now, imagine you are the person. You go out and you buy a Louis Vuitton bag. And that bag represents the eight families that don't have houses because of your husband or your friend or someone who cocked up a tender. Who cooked up a whole story. Huh? How do you use that bag every day? You put your scarf in it. You put it on the floor next to you at the dinner table that you're at. How do you do that? How do you do that and carry on with your life like nothing's wrong? It's despicable. Absolutely despicable. All right. What else?
Okay. When you drink, when you binge drink, do you ultimately also end up binge eating?
Yeah.
Yeah, because now there is some evidence to provide the link between binge drinking and binge eating. And it has been suggested by some researchers from the UK's Francis Crick Institute and University College London that alcohol could cause changes in the brain, which could have a significant impact on rising obesity rates around the world. So to understand how heavy drinking sessions could cause people to overeat, scientists carried out an experiment on mice, of course.
Poor mice. Shame. They always get roped in.
They do. The rodents were injected directly in their bellies with doses of alcohol over a three-day weekend, which mimics the effect of a large intake of alcohol by us as humans, right?
Poor animals. They didn't even know they were drunk.
No, they didn't understand what the hell was happening.
Oh, here comes another one of those injections. Let's hope this one doesn't hurt. Hang on a second.
And what the researchers discovered was that the intoxicated mice had a significantly increased food intake compared to the control mice who had not been injected with any alcohol. The mice appeared to mirror behavior which is seen in humans. And the scientists suggest that this is due to the changes in the brain which are caused by alcohol. What the alcohol does apparently is it disrupts the action of neurons, which are located in the hypothalamus, which regulates voracious eating.
Oh.
Well, I know I do that.
Voracious eating.
Yeah, if you wake up hungover, please, you're telling me you're not going to order a greasy, disgusting takeaway meal? First of all, you can't move. So you don't want to get up and go and cook something healthy in the kitchen.
No.
No, so you binge eat and you eat horrible stuff.
And you eat far too much of it. I mean, when you leave the club and you stop at that garage, you're not content with just one pie. It has to be two.
And do you know how a pie is like this five-star gourmet?
Beef and onion pies.
Oh, the worst thing is your breath the next morning, because then it's like this. You burp the taste of tequila. Then it's like this.
And beef and onion pie.
So bad. It's so disgusting. Good as well.
That is disgusting. I feel bad for these mice.
Shame.
I know that there are big things going on in the world and there are more interesting causes to take up. And I probably won't get a Nobel Peace Prize for this, but doesn't it strike you as really humbling that they can inject stuff into mice? And it mimics what we're doing. Basically, your biology and that of a mouse is not that different. We think we're so evolved. We think we humans are so clever. We sit here and we've got philosophy and we've got we've got science and we've got technology and we've got architecture and art and all of these things. And actually, you can inject a goddamn mouse and it does the same thing to its physiology, right?
Mm. How special are we now?
We're not special at all. We lucked out. If evolution had gone in any different direction anywhere on the tree, one other species would be in charge and we would be hunted and eaten and injected in labs.
Which is not a horrible gig as well, though.
What, being injected in labs?
Just
as long as it's just the alcohol. Trust me, they do much worse things than that, too.
Okay, yeah, okay. That part, no, we can give that a pass, though.
Jeez. These mice. Lab mice. Lab rats and lab mice. Oh, lab mice. It's a horrible job.
Icky thinking about being hungover.
You think that's bad? How about the chicken with hooves?
Shame.
Well, Craig says that speaking of all these chickens with hooves, you can apparently buy chickens from Red Barn Chicken in George, where they supply some health shops and they collect and deliver in the Western Cape. Not sure about Joburg. Well, yeah, that's a clever business because then you know where your chicken comes from. I want to know where my food comes from. Sometimes I read on the packet, like, some beans come from Spain, and then I'll see that the tomatoes come from Israel, and I'll see this comes from Jamaica. I like that. It gives me some idea of kind of its origins.
But don't you also want to see these tomatoes come from Potchefstroom or somewhere? I'd prefer, you obviously want to see that.
Sure. Something local.
Yeah, I'd much rather have that.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just don't supply those things, like lychees and stuff. I don't know where lychees come from. Do they come from here?
Well, sometimes we would much rather export our stuff than, you know, provide it to the rest of the country.
That's where all the good stuff goes. If you want to have great South African fruit, go to England.
Yeah.
Don't stay here.
Yes.
It's true.
Go abroad to get local food. Okay.
All righty. By the way, Robin Wheeler is coming to join us a little bit later on. He is a, I like this guy. He's got an idea about how you should be living your life. And at the beginning of the year, that's how a lot of us are feeling. You know, what do we do? How do we get this year up to a better start than last year? And how do we take things up a level? All that kind of thing. So we're going to have Robin Wheeler pop in. He's been in on the leadership platform before, so he's no stranger to cliffcentral.com, and he will join us just in a few minutes from now. What else do we need to know?
Okay, so Donald Trump has managed to piss off at least one other person. This is after the president-elect. And you know what? I can't wait for the stupid inauguration to come and go. And then we can stop saying president-elect and just call him the president.
Right. President Donald Trump.
So Trump is going to propose offering to end sanctions imposed on Russia in return for a nuclear arms reduction deal with his BFF, Vladimir Putin. And the outgoing CIA chief has now ripped into Donald Trump's suggestions. And of course, this is something that he tweeted, because that's Trump's preferred method of communication, is tweeting. So the outgoing CIA director, John Brennan, he has ripped into Donald Trump for talking and tweeting about possibly ending these sanctions against Russia, saying that the president-elect lacks a full understanding of the threat Moscow poses to the United States.
You know what? At least you can criticize Trump for a lot of things. And believe me, they're going to be a lot more. But this guy's transparent as all hell. You want to know what he's thinking?
He'll tell you.
He'll tweet it out. And I don't see how this could be bad. You get Russia to reduce the total number of nukes they have. And in return, you take away the sanctions. How could that be bad for the world?
So Brennan was speaking to Fox News yesterday, and he said, "I think Trump has to be mindful that he does not have a full appreciation and understanding of what the implications are of going down that road. Now that he's going to have an opportunity to do something for national security as opposed to talking and tweeting, he's going to have tremendous responsibility to make sure that the U.S. and national security interests are protected," is what the outgoing CIA director said.
All right.
Hold up, party people. Is the inauguration this Friday? Is it on the 20th, right?
Yeah, it's this Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see who's going to come to that inauguration.
Well, with the performances, it's kind of hilarious. The trend now is for everyone to speak out about the fact that they declined the invitation to perform there.
Yes, you see, that's what I want to know. I want to know who was invited and who just basically said no.
So the latest person.
I don't want to be part of this president. This president makes me sad.
Not.
Okay, well, if you don't go, let me just remind everybody who's been invited and they're not going that you're counting yourself out of 4 years of the future of your country.
Well, that's what the rapper Two Chainz says.
It's so stupid.
What a random way for them to reach out so far. But they reach out to Two Chainz, the rapper.
Nicole Kidman.
And he said no.
Nicole Kidman the other day said we should all just stop our nonsense and rally behind the president, because he's our president whether we like him or not, which is the sensible thing to say.
True.
Right?
Well, that's what Steve Harvey also says as well. He just had a meeting with Donald Trump, and everyone is taking him down.
They tore a new asshole in Nicole Kidman's back, and now they're doing it to Steve Harvey. Because these people are conciliators. They're trying to find... Now, I don't think Nicole Kidman or Steve Harvey necessarily love Donald Trump, but they're clever. And they're saying the right thing. And ordinary Americans are tired of this partisan nonsense. Mm. They just want a government that works. Let me quickly play this for you. This is interesting. I saw Newt Gingrich was on. Remember, he was the Speaker of the House and leader of the Republican Party in Congress for a long time. He was talking about Trumpism and what it means. The new way that countries are going to be run and how Donald Trump is kind of changing the rules. So Newt Gingrich went on to Fox News and spoke to Sean Hannity. But he gave the example of that skating rink in New York, the ice skating rink. And this is an interesting story, because if you don't know what happened there, basically there was an ice skating rink in New York City, and for years it just wasn't operable. No one was using it. There was no ice. Let me play it for you. This is an interesting story.
Government politics. You can get pieces of it by reading two of his books, The Art of the Deal and The Art of the Comeback. You get pieces of it by looking at his campaign and by looking at his speeches.
He's talking about Trump.
I'll give you one example of how, and I tell people this is a watershed moment, if we make it work.
Okay. So now he's going to tell you the story of the ice rink. Just listen to this and it'll give you an idea of what Donald Trump might be able to do that other presidents haven't up to now been able to do because they're so tied up in bureaucracy and red tape. Okay, so this is the silver lining, if you will, for all those people who hate Trump. I get it. You don't like Trump. You don't like his politics. You think he's a monster and a racist and all kinds of things that you probably are projecting from deep down inside about yourself, but let's leave that alone. Here he is. Let's imagine best case scenario. Okay, Newt, take it away.
You know, we have a Trump rally on the stock market. Now you got to turn into a Trump reality in the real economy. So, one example, which you and I were talking about earlier. The woman skating rink, Central Park, doesn't produce ice, which is very embarrassing. I mean, a skating rink with no ice is really stupid.
And this went on for years.
6 years.
Yes.
6 years, the city of New York bureaucracy tries to fix the skating rink. Trump finally gets so irritated, because he can see it from his apartment, that he publicly taunts Mayor Koch. Koch finally comes in and says, all right, smart guy, I'm going to give you the skating rink. You got $3 million in 6 months.
How much have they already wasted?
They wasted $13 million over six. $13 million for 6 years.
Wow.
The thing I love about it is that in The Art of the Deal, he says, now that I was in charge, I realized I didn't know anything about fixing skating rinks. This is very Trumpian.
Yeah.
He says, so I asked myself, who knows about fixing skating rinks? And I thought, Canadians.
He's right.
So I found the best Canadian skating rink company. Now, first of all, this is what leads him to Jim Mattis. This is what leads him to Rick Perry. I mean, he's going to look for the best to come in. It's a piece of what Trumpism is, as opposed to liberalism, which would look for the right token surrogate, even if they were incompetent.
Or identity politics.
Identity politics. So they come in, 6 years, $13 million failure, 2.5 months, $3 million success. Now, here's my point.
Under budget, actually.
This is, by the way, under budget and 3 months ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why we have to abolish the Congressional Budget Office.
All right, and he goes on about why he wants to get rid of that. But isn't that a great example? So within less time than they gave him and with less money than they gave him, he gets the skating rink working in New York just by cutting through the red tape. Just because bureaucracy clogs everything up. And so all these people, like when Nicole Kidman or Kanye West or Steve Harvey say they don't care about the politics here. They want to get things done and they think it's time for everybody to get behind the president.
Just to deal with the situation.
Grow up. Your reality is you've got this guy for president. Either you're going to sit there and bitch and moan and whine about how hard the world is and it didn't go your way and you're all butthurt, or you're going to throw in with him and see what you could do.
Exactly. What are these people waiting for? They're waiting for someone to come door to door and go, I'm really sorry that your candidate didn't win. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. They're children.
Get on with it.
They're children. So, and the worst part is they now beat up on people like Steve Harvey and Nicole Kidman. These people are just saying what everybody else wants you to do.
Mm. So Steve Harvey released this. He said, our president, Obama, asked that all of us sit down and talk to one another in order to move our country forward. The transition teams on both sides asked me to meet, and I'm glad I did.
Right. Adult response.
I think a lot of people are still waiting for, like, you know, Ashton Kutcher to jump out and say, ha, just kidding.
Yeah.
We're all punked.
Well, I'm sorry. You're now going to deal with reality.
Yeah, sure. I think if you're also waiting for certain celebrities to get on board and only then you're okay with it, that's also a big problem.
Yeah.
And it's four days away.
Well, look, Hillary Swift. Taylor Swift has said nothing, so I'm on the fence still.
I still don't know.
I'm waiting for some celebrity to tell me what to think. All right.
Wow. Well, all is confirmed for Friday. All that's confirmed for Friday is that this Toby Keith guy, he's a country singer, Three Doors Down, and he's Jennifer Holliday.
He's all they could get.
or the only performers confirmed thus far. Everybody else saying hail to the null.
I bet you there was a big WhatsApp group, like a Hollywood WhatsApp group that somebody started.
Meryl Streep.
Where they all said, guys, we're going to boycott. So if Trump's people reach out to you to ask you to perform, please say no. I bet you there's a big Hollywood
group. But the truth of the matter is, I suspect these three particularly just got an offer they can't refuse. Because the money will be there, and they're paying them.
But
and so,
guy, listen, you're playing at the inauguration of a president. This is not a concert for a couple of people. This is a big historical moment. Why would you say no to that?
Have the Black Eyed Peas denied or agreed to do it?
I don't know. I don't even know if they're still
asked. No, mate.
Because this is the next thing I want to see is bands coming out that weren't asked to say, well, I declined. It's like, well, no one cares about you. Yeah. You weren't even invited. Try to take the stand for attention.
Dusty Springfield.
Yeah. I would do that, yeah.
You can imagine like the Jonas Brothers coming, like, we were against it.
We do not
listen
support.
To Mark Wahlberg. Listen
Kevin
to this.
Fedline, I didn't want to dance there.
Listen.
Mark Wahlberg has had a successful career in entertainment, from music to actor to film producer. His resume even includes an Oscar nomination for the film The Departed. But the Boston native has a message for his Hollywood friends. Stop talking politics. In an interview with Task and Purpose, a news site predominantly for veterans, Wahlberg shared his thoughts on Hollywood's attempt to undermine President-elect Trump. A lot of celebrities did, do, and shunt, Wahlberg said, people aren't listening to that. They might buy your CD or watch your movie, but you don't put food on their table, you don't pay their bills. A lot of Hollywood is living in a bubble. The actor, who is currently promoting Patriots Day, a film about the Boston Marathon bombing, continued, saying, although I can navigate Hollywood and I love the business and the opportunities it's afforded me, I also understand what it's like not to have all that. During the election, celebrities used their voices to try and stop Trump's momentum in middle America. Leonardo DiCaprio for climate change, fellow billionaire Mark Cuban on Trump's lack of business sense, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Jeffrey Wright, and almost every other celebrity in Hollywood, with a few exceptions, most notably Susan Sarandon. There is truth in Wahlberg's statement. On Instagram, when celebrities pointed out they were with her, comments like, I used to really like at Justin Timberlake and still love his music, but this election has made me stop watching certain movies with certain actors and stop buying music from certain artists. For viewer, I'm Anjali Kakade.
All right. Thank you, Anjali.
Kakade.
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 One Kakade. That's what she's doing.
She doesn't see the doctor much.
That is a great surname.
Speaking of Kakade, have you seen what Madonna was doing?
Oh, Madge.
Was she having more of it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, they're actually doing this whole movement against the inauguration, actually. So there is a march happening in Washington this Friday as well. It's a women's march, and it's an event organized to protest the president-elect swearing in. So she is now one of those people who are backing that up. And so in part of it, which is quite an abstract symbol or statement, but she has allegedly, and we don't know if this is her or just another model, shaved her pubic hair. Gosh, guys, I can't even. Shaved her pubic hair into the Nike swoosh logo. So Nike, the swoosh symbols, you know, stands for just do it. And so that's her motto, just do it this Friday.
But it isn't really, it's not really Madonna's.
We don't know.
Bush, right?
Okay, look, I'm going to say it because people are thinking it. That's a stunt.
A body double.
Vagina.
Stunt vagina.
How do we know that, Ben?
Madonna's a warlock. She's 703. If she's
a warlock,
I mean, if you want something entertaining today, go to Madonna's Twitter account. Right, find that post of that Nike shaven vagina, and look
this
at
one.
And go through the comments of people have written about this.
Oh no!
I'm sure the comments are.
No, really, it'll be half an hour if you're trying to contain whatever you are eating or drinking.
Oh!
It's pretty funny.
Oh, that hurts.
It's pretty funny.
That hurts.
Because you obviously got gay guys going, "Oh, you're the queen," and then you got other people talking about, "Oh." I'm sorry, I can't believe it. I just saw a bat fly out of that and stuff like that.
First top comment by Ronnie Smith 98 just came here to say Madonna's fucking stupid. Okay, bye.
84,000 likes. Okay.
That's one of the nicer comments.
So she's,
listen to this.
She's definitely had the, she's had the desired effect. It was to get people talking about her.
This one, Billy G says, and you wonder why her son chooses to live with his dad. Here's one. I hate it when old cunts try to be trendy. Here's a good one. This one says, oh my God, let me finger you, queen. And then someone replies to that saying, it would take two fists with that loose old hag.
Oh. Well, some people like this, though. The most controversial thing you've done is stay around. Stick around, girl, because I love you. Oh, this is kind of... just makes me itch now.
Yeah, Madonna makes a lot of people itch because of the STDs.
I was about to say, not for the best reasons out there.
Right.
I don't know. Some people need to definitely just stay out of politics. Just stick to your lane.
I don't understand it. Like, she's done really well. She's got a great career. She's made more money in music than just about anybody. In fact, I think she made more money in the last 2 years than Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber.
Man.
Just doing concerts and things, right? She should be very happy. Like, if middle America comes to your concert and you don't agree with them politically, shut up. Shut up and let them come and sing like a virgin. Hey! Right? Don't worry about all that other shit.
You know it's really to blame here, right?
Mm.
It's Bono from U2.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Like any other Irish kid, he was in a lovely boy band, he was making hits, and then suddenly he'd believe that he must now talk about the world and politics. And every celebrity after that wanted to be like Bono. And before you know it, you've got old women shaving their vaginas. And look at the mess we're in now.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
Back off. I wasn't even getting on about you.
Oh, here's a comment. Grab it by the sneaker laces. Ha ha.
I don't know. Do you think Madonna's vagina is very dilapidated? Can we talk about that for a second?
I
think vaginas in general are ugly and overrated.
No, you're wrong. I'm so against you on this.
Guys, hang on a second.
I don't know.
Hang on a second.
I genuinely believe that they are quite ugly looking.
I'm asking in particular about the Madonna one.
Well, it's probably uglier looking than the rest, but generally speaking, these are completely overrated things.
Now, this is also a discussion of anatomy here. The picture is not sort of, say, south of the equator, if you know what I mean. This is more the lower abdomen.
You can't actually see much in this picture.
No, you don't see the vagina.
You don't see the clitoris, the lips. You just see
I can't say those words.
Part.
The lips.
You just see the top part. So actually, you don't really see
much.
It's not a gratuitous picture.
I heard she's got such hangy lips, she has to wear men's underwear. Stop. Is that true?
Gareth, we worked hard. That's why she plundered South America for young boys, because she's found the fountain of eternal vaginal youth.
Ah, yes.
It's young South American penis.
Yeah, she can't have old American penis because it doesn't have the effect to keep her going that young South American penis does.
But this is Madonna, who's like a freaky deaky, but also at the same time has a lot of money. So I wouldn't put it past her for like having a Kegel exercise specialist.
Spot on.
Yeah.
And for getting like, I don't know, a pelvis area lift or something or the other.
I heard she can deadlift a 25 kilogram kettlebell with a vagina alone. It's quite something.
That's
look,
amazing.
Every other part of her anatomy is so strong. Because, I mean, Madonna is strong for her age.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I hope she doesn't use a juicer anymore. She just uses it.
She squeezes the fruit out.
It's like a whole watermelon in 30
just
seconds.
Just crushes.
De-pipped.
Wow, that's some talent.
How old are we again? Just needed to find that out.
That's beautiful. Madonna juicer. All right, here's Lynn. She says, should we all stop our nonsense and rally behind President Zuma because he's our president? Come on, Gareth, get real.
But it's kind of different though, isn't it?
There's a difference between objecting to something,
listen,
and then there's a difference between just getting progress or dealing with the situation.
Nobody after the election, let's just think about this, Lynn. After the election in South Africa, when President Zuma was first elected and the second time he was elected, nobody hit the streets and said, well, we're not going to perform for him. We're not going to support him. we don't like this guy. We didn't choose this president, not in our name, all that kind of thing. I didn't see DA people going, well, we're boycotting everything. It's a childish reaction by Democrats. And in this case, you know what? I also say, and I was very supportive of this president, by the way, when he became president. I was very supportive of what happened at Polokwane. Look, I was an idiot. I didn't realize how corrupt this was going to end up being. But at that stage, I thought it was right. And I've admitted that's one of the stupidest things I've ever done is support this President Jacob Zuma when he won at Polokwane against Thabo Mbeki. I was thrilled. I thought, yay, end of centrism. End of the horrible, careless, thoughtless Mbeki regime. Well, now I would welcome them back with open arms. But I didn't know at the time.
Well, you see, this is the thing, is you've got to give Donald Trump...
Give him a chance.
At least 4 years, and then only then will we be able to say, oh, he was good for America, or he was completely a disaster.
We gave George W. Bush two chances. You know? And also, it's easier to be objective if you're not in it.
True.
And we're looking at this situation in America right now, and we're all going, pretty messed up.
Because it's hard, though. Like, I know, come Friday at the inauguration, and when the Obamas, that scene always gets me, when the outgoing president walks off and goes into the helicopter and flies off.
Yeah.
Man.
Does that really happen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Flies off. It's like this really lame wedding photo. It's like before the ceremony, they walk down a road into a sunset. Like,
that's the one.
You're turning back to come into the reception. No one's buying this.
Dare I say it is a bit of a tearjerker, though.
They do. They give them a flyover. They fly down the mall. They fly over the White House for the last time. And then they're out of there. Then the Obamas are back in Chicago, I think, or they do have a house in Washington.
Yeah, they're staying in Washington for Malia.
Yeah, she's the youngest. She's still at school.
Yeah, until she finishes school. I like that, though, because also Malia wasn't in Chicago for the final speech, and there was a hashtag, where's Malia? People were, like, worried, like, oh, my goodness, what happened? But she was literally – she had to stay in Washington because she had a test the next day. Imagine. So, even as a first daughter, you can't go to cool stuff.
You got your test to do. And that just shows you that those people who come up with bullshit excuses about why they're not somewhere, you got no excuse. If the president's daughter has to be there for a test, you're not the president's daughter. You're not important, and your stupid schedule isn't either.
Damn it.
Get over yourself.
So, staying with politics and some people who should absolutely not comment on politics. So there was recently a referendum in Italy about the future of Italy's constitution, etc., etc. And one of the people who spoke out very passionately about this is a model by the name of Paola Saulina. She's actually kind of pretty. You guys can...
Just kind of.
Not kind of pretty. She's actually... Ben?
She's sucking her thumb seductively.
Exactly.
She has huge eyebrows, though.
All right, she's not bad looking.
You teed her up. You got to criticize.
Getting everyone, though, to make a wise decision about this referendum and to get people really backed up on this, she said for everyone who actually goes to vote, she'll give them a blowjob.
Jesus. Yeah, but that's not practical.
Hang on. I remember the story. Wait, did she say that she'll give them a blowjob or that she'll give blowjob lessons?
Oh, no. Blowjobs. She's on a bomba tour. So, bomba.
Wow.
Bomba is the Italian word for blowjob, and it's hashtag bomba tour. There literally are dates. And it's going around Italy, and that is what she's doing. Now, the awkward thing is there are 19 million people who voted. Wow. And so she's
lockjaw.
Pay back the money. Pay back the money.
She just actually posted on Instagram, said it's the first step of the Bomba tour is gone, and she's a little bit tired, but everything is okay. It's been a great day.
Does that mean she's been handing them?
Yeah, I mean, has she actually been giving blowjobs?
People, there are references who say that this is accurate because there are dates and there are venues for this.
Wow.
And she meets and she actually says, great on you for voting, and this is my way.
So even if you didn't vote, you could just go in for a...
Well, you'd have to have one of those stamped fingerprints, right?
Yeah, some way of proving that you were part of it, though.
No, but when did they have this referendum? How do you prove that you voted a particular way?
No, I'm pretty certain she has to have some sort of proof. Look, just like those I voted stickers or something or the other.
Yeah, but there's too many holes in the story. Firstly,
excuse
me, too many holes.
Firstly, does this destroy or encourage democracy? Secondly, what if you're a woman and you voted and you want to also like feel like you're part of this whole thing? And thirdly,
does she?
Thirdly, this is stupid. I've forgotten what the third point was.
Yeah. It's completely stupid, but I mean, it's attention.
I'm just trying to think of. I'm trying to think of a way I could get a
go
holiday
to Italy. Now.
Yeah, just
but
to
you
lie.
Didn't vote, though.
It doesn't matter. I'll put one of those fake things on my thumb that I voted.
Oh my goodness! Yep, it's the bumper tour. So,
but Mubs, just imagine you want to get involved in this referendum, like you, and you think, you know what? I'm tired of getting nothing from this election. Guys are getting blowjobs. What am I getting?
Yeah.
So she's just doing blowjobs. Hey, no cunnilingus.
So there's an entire dates as well. Rome on the 7th. She's in Milan on the 13th. She's everywhere.
Good for her.
Bombatua, guys. It's
what a,
the
what a name.
Hashtag Bombatua. I just want to see what people are saying about that even.
Jared says, great South African fruit is definitely not in England, Ben. Even the oranges here are half the size and very bland.
Okay. Mm. Maybe stop shopping just at Asda's then.
Romain says Andrea Bocelli was asked to sing at the inauguration, but he has declined because he received death threats. So Trump opponents sent death threats to Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah, but you know, people who
unreal.
People who send death threats, do they really commit to their threat? Because now what you're going to do? We're at the inauguration. There's Andrea Bocelli. He's up on a stage. When are you actually going to have an opportunity to take him out without being caught?
Well, the problem is he can't see the threat before it comes. He's like, not going to take any chances.
Like,
but the Secret Service
realistically can. Speaking, when are you actually going to follow through on your death threat?
If I were him, I wouldn't take any chances. You don't know. And believe me, when that Katy Perry gets angry, she threatens a lot of things.
Yeah.
But does someone feel that
yeah.
so totally
this is
behind
how,
it to the point
this
where...
this is how stupid it is, right? Normally, we wouldn't care who was performing at the... We wouldn't even know whether people had or hadn't been asked at any other inauguration. I mean, what an honor to be asked to sing for the president at his inauguration. And the big crowd of people who've gathered to see him. And I'll be surprised if Trump doesn't draw a big crowd. That's his thing.
Exactly.
You see, I feel like this is the beginning of more crazy antics, though. So I'm pretty certain there'll be a group standing outside the White House trying to stop Trump from driving in.
Right.
Something like stupid protests like that. People protesting at the inauguration most definitely as well.
There'll be some of those to watch.
Hecklers galore. Mm. Oh, guys.
So are we just not going to do sport in the second hour?
I looked at you just now. You looked at me with this blank expression
in your
face.
She was halfway through a sentence. Sia wanted to talk about blowjobs and stuff.
Ben, the bumper tour.
I looked at you just now.
And Sia was still talking.
Expectantly. And you just looked at... You looked like a goldfish that swims around in a bowl. You had no expression in your face.
There's no need to mock my appearance, Gareth. Let's not get into that. It was a polite question. That's all it was.
Stop bitching and moaning. What do we got for us?
Okay, Australian Open, right? It's right happening right now.
What? I'm sorry, what was that?
Nobody gives a shit.
I do.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
I love the Australian Open.
Right, the Australian Open is going on right now, okay? So Melbourne is the place to be in Australia. It's kind of one of the classier places where they wear shoes and generally just, you know, treat their sister as a sibling. But at the Rod Laver Arena and all these places, it's just everything is happening. The Margaret Court Arena. Mm-hmm. Now, Margaret Court, Mubs, correct me if I'm wrong here, but she's the one who won all everything back when women used to wear long skirts and not hit backhands too hard. But this is the Open Arena, right? This is where it all happens. So
yes.
Serena's going for 23. So Margaret Court, everything's named after her, and it's all nice and well.
Yeah.
But Serena's a real deal, and she's chasing Steffi Graf. Now, Steffi Graf was German. So 23 is the magic number. Serena did not have a good year last year. Injury ravaged mostly. She is getting on. She's 35. She's my age. So she's come back raring to go here. She's not the top seed. She's only the second one.
Who's top?
Kvitova.
Oh.
She sounds like one of those birds that gets really angry with you at a golf course.
But is Petra Kvitova, is she the one that was injured in a robbery? Like she was stabbed or something?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. The robbery one was not her.
Snatch Cover.
The robbery one was not her. No, it was her, Ben.
Was it?
Mm, it was.
Crap. Okay. That's not important, Himabali. The important thing is about Serena. The important thing is Serena.
Ben only cares about Serena.
Yeah, it's about getting people the information they really know. So she's the second seed. She's going into this one after getting engaged. So you definitely know where she's got to in her career. So she's probably thinking she wants to manage her time this year. She said so much in a press conference that she wants to have a healthy amount of play rather than just playing and hoping for the best. So she's obviously going to use the majors as a big deal. So she wins one more. She goes to the magical number 23.
Right.
Now, Simona Halep, she will not be standing in her way. She's already gone. So that's the first big casualty of the Aussie Open. Oh. For all your Simona Halep fans, well, she says she's been nursing a knee injury, so she's gone. She was the fourth seed. And Shelby Rogers is Roger right out of that one. So the big talking point here, though, is Novak Djokovic versus Andy Murray. Now, Andy Murray had a great year last year. Mm-hmm. He was all about 2016 being great, which proves it wasn't a good year because if it's good for Andy, it's obviously horrible for everyone else. So he's world number one. He's 30 years old. He's really quite something. But his record in the Australian Open, well, it's Murray-esque. You know, when you say Murray-esque previously, it's always close but no cigar. He's been runner-up there 5 times.
Oh.
That's like the frumpy girl at the wedding who just keeps catching bouquets. And she's like, oh, it's going to happen.
Every time and eventually, you know, hoping that something happens.
Andy's been the runner-up there 5 times. Novak Djokovic, on the hand, he's won it 6 times. So the big rivalry has come back. Now, in Qatar recently, Djokovic beat Murray in an event there. So that was the first sort of strike of the 2017 year. So those two, everything's going to be all eyes on them. So if there's going to be someone maybe under the radar can do really well, but Djokovic just has this ability to go into that Rod Laver arena and just turn it on. 6 wins, 6 Grand Slams in one of them. So that's what you need to look out for. The first week is mostly a waste of time unless the top seed has a big night and just plays badly the next day. So, you know, we'll obviously get more into this as things heat up. But the first week's all about Eastern European names you can't really pronounce. And players just going through saying they're feeling all right. So that starts today. So if you love tennis.
Okay.
In Australia, right?
My buddy will be watching that for sure.
And because in Australia, and they're obviously far east, you can watch in the mornings.
Mm, okay. The time difference is not like the US Open.
Yeah, which is the exact opposite, being far west.
Yeah.
So that's geography and sport for today, Gareth.
Oh, okay. Is that it?
Well, it was a big story.
No, it's a good story.
So if you missed anything else, catch the podcast, cliffcentral.com, Ben Sport.
What about
sport.
Kyrgios? That rude, nasty Australian, is he involved?
Yeah, he will be. He's Nick bounced back. Kyrgios. He was playing, like, there's this World Tennis League that happens around the world where they've got a woman and a guy and whatever, and they play singles, mixed doubles, doubles, and yeah, so he's been playing in that. He is fresh, he's ready. Yeah, look, he's one of those guys that he's in the news for the wrong reasons. If he can get over himself at some stage, then he might be a contender going forward.
All right. Coming up in a short while, Robin Wheeler will join us. I'm very excited to talk to him. You know, it's the start of a year, and for a lot of people, that means trying to get your priorities right, trying to figure out what you need to pay attention to and what you don't. We're all into finding better ways and more efficient ways to live. And he wants you to just be yourself for a living. Now imagine how easy that would be. Authenticity. You know? We're all doing what we do. There are multiple methods for getting there. Being here now, being present where you need to be, making a difference. These are the things I want to hear. These
especially
are the things
on
I want
a
to
Monday.
Hear. Damn right. Monday morning, you need some motivation.
Beginning of the year.
You need someone to chase you out of bed and teach you how to live your life better because you're screwing up so far.
Can we stop saying Happy New Year now? When
yes,
do you stop?
So. Yeah, I did
last week.
I did it in an email last night and I felt stupid. So it's, I think the 15th of Jan is cut off.
It's gone.
Okay.
By the way, if anyone's still got Christmas decorations up right now, you should be embarrassed. Oh,
no. Yeah.
Speaking of people leave them going. I drove past Sandton City last week and they still had their Christmas tree up. Oh. Come on. It can't, by what, the 12th? You got to have that down.
Okay, I won't. Well, okay. No judgment
Open
here.
Open it up. Go on, Sia.
Our tradition is like when nearing Valentine's Day, that's when you take everything down.
Oh, my God. We still you keep it all up that long?
Jeepers.
Well, for us, it's just like in the lounge. So it's just a tree and like a few fairy lights. It's nothing like grand outside the house as well. But
why don't you just hang Easter eggs on it while you're at it?
Listen, I said no judgment.
Let me tell you something. I saw two or three stores with Easter eggs. They're already trying to sell us Easter eggs.
No, guys, that's a bit intense.
Oh, yeah.
We're still trying to get all the Christmas chocolate marked down.
Right.
That's what we're still dealing with.
Santas that are now starting to go, you know how chocolate gets that sort of white color eventually? You know?
Yes.
That's how you know. It's been on the shelf too long. All right. Robin Wheeler's coming up in a moment or two. We got lots of other good stuff to get to. Yes, Ben.
Sorry, I did make a huge mistake. It was Kerber. That's her.
Angelique Kerber.
Kerber, she's the world number one, top seed. See, it's with a K, and then I got struck. Yeah.
Okay, so. Could very well Kerber. Be Kardashian as well. Yeah, one of those Ks.
No. See, what I'm doing is I'm taking the embarrassment away from Sierra and his Christmas tree still being up. No. I'm just admitting that's nice that I got the world's worst tennis player.
I thought
best tennis player.
Thank you, Ben. You really helped
me out. All right, everybody, get ready for your Monday morning motivation. Get ready for a reason to get up and attack this day with both hands. Robin Wheeler coming up next. You never gotta be that.
CliffCentral.com.